Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. On Money FM 89.3, The Washington Report with Nirmal Ghosh, U.S. Bureau Chief with the Straits Times.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. You're here with me, Manisha Tank, and Elliot Danko. Ryan Huang will be back with finance updates right after the news at 7:30.
Oh, so this is big news from over the weekend out from the United States. U.S. President Donald Trump naming his nomination to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He has chosen Amy Coney Barrett, and she is a favorite among social conservatives.
That's right. And if she's approved, there will be a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. It's a shift that could bring in sweeping changes to health care, as well as abortion, voting and gun rights.
Obviously, the Democrats had something to say. They are appalled that she could be confirmed before Americans cast their vote in the November 3rd election.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has spoken out to say President Trump is in a hurry to confirm his Supreme Court nominee in order to undo the Affordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare.
Plus, a big week. We see the presidential debates starting in the middle of the week. What can we expect? Online to help us out is Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. Nirmal, good speaking with you. Let's talk about President Trump nominating Amy Coney Barrett to be the new Supreme Court Justice. Okay, what does her nomination mean for U.S. law, and when could we potentially see this approval?
Hi there, good morning. Yes, she may well be approved before the election, or if not, then in the weeks after the election, even if President Donald Trump loses the election, because the process is already underway. So there is a small chance that will not happen, that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will, because of political considerations, maybe blow back from senators that face re-election. Maybe he himself will delay it. But as of now, the signs are pointing to a swift process. The president certainly wants to ram it through, and he more or less owns the Republican Party at the moment. So her confirmation would mean the Supreme Court bench will have 6 out of 9 justices appointed by Republicans, even though the party, by the way, has won the popular presidential vote only once in the past 7 elections. So Amy Coney Barrett is known to be a religious conservative and would be quite open to reconsidering key decisions on LGBTQ rights, and so forth. The big one, of course, would be the 1973 Roe v. Wade, which decriminalized abortion. That is the target of religious conservatives, and her appointment is one step closer to challenging that verdict. In historical terms, this is sort of the last hurrah of religious conservatives because America's demographics are against them. But putting Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court will have a lasting effect. So very deep change is possible under a decisively conservative Supreme Court.
Okay, but of course, Democrats have already railed against this, haven't they, Nirmal? And they're saying support for her confirmation is equivalent to a vote to end the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. In the midst of a global health pandemic, might more Americans be concerned about their health insurance? What sort of consequences could this potentially have?
Huge consequences. Americans are very concerned about healthcare, and not only because of the pandemic, though the pandemic, of course, makes things much worse. This administration wants to end the Affordable Care Act, which has problems, but it is not at all clear what will replace it. And if it is suddenly ended without a proper replacement or properly managed replacement, then a significant percentage, especially of African Americans and Latinos, could basically lose their insurance. There is no doubt that this issue of the Supreme Court has imparted a new sense of urgency to both sides in the election.
We're on the line with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. You know, Manisha, I was watching the TV last week and I saw this headline which shocked me, not shocked me, when President Trump cast doubt on whether he would leave the White House willingly if he would lose the election in November, right? But Nirmal, so now we see Senate Majority Mitch McConnell saying that if Republicans lose, there will be an orderly transfer of power. I mean, pardon my primitive languages, is just damage control in that sense?
Yes, but it does not seem to be definitive. When will we know who has won and who has lost is the question. Either way, it seems the result will be challenged. It will be challenged in the Supreme Court, which, by the way, is another reason the Republicans want Amy Coney Barrett on board in a hurry and the Democrats don't. But it'll also be challenged in the streets. The reality is that America is heading into a very uncertain period of potentially extreme volatility.
Oh, Nirmal, it's all interconnected, isn't it? Okay, the first presidential debates, they start tomorrow. President Donald Trump is continuing to trail former Vice President Joe Biden in all the polls. Trump is the first incumbent to be losing in the polls at this point since George H.W. Bush in 1992. So the question is, what can we expect from the first debate and what sort of tactics do you think each candidate will adopt?
It is in some ways Joe Biden's debate to lose, really, or for him to beat expectations. Now, we know what to expect from Donald Trump. He will tout his own record, his Nobel nomination, and he will attack Joe Biden for his son having benefited from his dad having been in office and for being weak. He's basically going to steamroll Joe Biden. Now, Biden will find it difficult to deal with that, not just because of his own vulnerabilities, but because it is difficult to address counterfactual arguments with logic. He has to be also careful not to be nasty. He has to be careful to be the nice guy, to stay cool and composed and presidential, and not make the sort of gaffes that may haunt him going forward.
So, in other words, how they look, it's about image in that sense.
So much.
That makes it even more exciting to watch, to be honest. Okay, final question, Nirmal. Another escalation in U.S.-China tensions. We see the U.S. taking aim at another prominent Chinese technology company after imposing export restrictions on China's largest chipmaker, Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp. So, what's behind this latest escalation and why have they chosen this company?
Right. So basically, the U.S. has imposed restrictions on exports to SMIC after concluding there is a quote-unquote unacceptable risk that equipment supplied to it could be used for military purposes. This is actually more significant than the U.S. bans on TikTok and WeChat, you could say, because it will cause supply chain issues across half the planet. It may also draw some retaliatory action from Beijing. We don't know what, of course, yet. From the U.S. point of view, this is what they call a whole-of-government push to restrict China's dominance across various fields, including tech, and to try and decouple or bifurcate the tech world, insulating Western tech from China.
Thanks a lot, Nirmal. We've been speaking with Straits Times U.S. Bureau Chief Nirmal Ghosh. We'll catch up with you next week, Nirmal. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.